is the Wednesday edition.
Barely made it on time. Edition. He got me. I was not surprised by Matt LaFleur admitting that he got emotional after the game and let his frustration boil over and he wasn't accurate in his assessment of his team. I was definitely surprised that he got after me for being late yesterday. And I thought, well, I'll explain in a minute. Edition. And the Brian Bulaga, Iowa, Steve the Homer True, multiple academic institutions, and Tausch in the Everlight Solar ESPN Madison Studios edition of Wilde and Tausch on 94.5 ESPN Milwaukee, 100.5 ESPN Madison, 1430 ESPN Beaver Dam, ESPNWisconsin.com, the ESPN app, your Alexa smart speaker, streaming live video, Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, and of course, everything you need on WisconsinOnDemand.com and the Wisconsin On Demand app. I'm Jason Wilde in Green Bay. Jesse Nelson is in the Everlight Solar ESPN Madison studios. And so is the Packers Hall of Famer. He's in a new seat. He's got a new microphone.
Not super pleased about the scenario here.
Oh, no. Oh, no. Not already.
I even gave him a heads up.
He is Mark Tauscher. Tausch, good morning. Dare I ask, how are you?
No, I'm fine, but you know, I come in here and love coming into the Everlight Solar ESPN Madison studio.
And they love you.
You know, even though the drive now is another 10 minutes longer. All right, whatever. Good, cool. I got my spot, man. And then I sit down, get all my stuff, got my live reads, got my coffee from Quick Trip, got my show sheet in my hand.
What?
No, well, Jesse printed it. And so just the morning is going well. And then Jelly, 8:57, is like, yeah, that head jack doesn't work. Okay. So here I am. So now I'm sitting like I got a steel pole hitting my jacked up left knee.
Oh, no.
Super uncomfortable. But I'm here and I'm ready to do a fine radio / TV program with you.
Yes, your attitude is fantastic. Thank you for
being...
No,
my attitude will be fine, but you know.
I get it.
What are you wearing a polo for? You never wear polos.
I know.
You going golfing?
Someone is, not me. I'm headed out to one of our local courses where Maddie Wilde is making her season debut for her golf team. So figured I better... look like a golfer, even though I'm not a golfer.
You don't have to wear a polo if you're not golfing.
I understand, but I feel like, you know, this is one of those kind. They're a little hoity-toity over there, so I wanted to make sure I looked presentable. And I don't want to embarrass her. Like, if I go dressed like the schlub
that
I normally dress as.
Are you
going
to wear gym shorts?
No, I've got golf shorts on.
You're a fascinating
fella. I was thinking about maybe wearing my golf shoes that I never wear because I never play. But I got a really nice pair of Nike 270s, but I've never worn them. They just sit in my closet. All right, so enough about my polo. And enough, frankly, about your uncomfortable position. Although I am curious, as the director of content, Jesse, that spot now has a microphone that repeatedly falls down on Tausch and also has a jack problem?
Yeah. Yeah, it does.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is that something you feel like maybe falls under your purview to repair?
That's actually
or
a really good
are
question.
You delegating to someone else as usual?
Delegation state.
The request was into the IT team to come fix it, and the response was, I'm in L.A. Okay.
Okay. All right. Well, we look forward to you getting that repaired or someone doing it for you.
I think I'm going to switch seats at the turn.
At the turn? Yes. Are you
just
golfing today?
Just try each one out and see how it all goes.
At the turn?
No, I'm not golfing today. No, sir.
Maybe you'll find you like one of these spots better than
your
other spot.
I'm going to just keep bandying around it. There may be a few segments I don't even have a microphone in front of me. I'll sit in these nice comfy chairs.
You can come here in the studio and take my spot.
Actually, that's a good idea. I will do a segment from back there. Perfect idea.
Push some buttons.
Wow.
And the other important buttons back there, South Dakota button. What else we got? Drum roll button. You got all kinds of stuff. The ding. All right. Well, there were none of those sound effects as I entered yesterday. I'll tell you the backstory in a moment, but here is Matt LaFleur as I make my not-so-triumphant, somewhat sheepish entry into the Lambeau Field Media Auditorium a question and a half in to his press conference.
You don't interrupt the meeting. Sit your butt outside. Just kidding.
I thought that was directed at me, Mark. So yeah, I think I've asked about those.
I tried to do my best to like play that off, but probably wasn't very good. Was it?
I was
hoping
you were. All
right.
Okay.
Sorry. I know, right?
So, right. Like, totally right.
So, here's the backstory. So, Matt LaFleur gets down to the green room. The press conference is at 1:50. Gets down there at 1:46, and he tells Jason Wallers, the VP of Communications, hey, can we go early? And Waller says, no, we can't go early. These guys usually get there right before you're going to start. I think Jason left out the fact that he is often late, so usually getting there right at the right time is usually sufficient.
Oh, look at you throwing LaFleur and Wallace under the bus.
Mm-hmm. No, this was on me, definitely on me. I won't even mention the tour group that I was stuck behind on the stairs. But I walk in, and it was 1:50 on the dot. Like, it had just turned from 1:49 to 1:50 because I was paying attention because I knew I was cutting it close. And he was in his second answer to the second question. And when he first kind of gave me that glare, I thought he was just giving me grief, right? Because, again, this is a guy who returned my call for my Josh Meyer story from his bed in Denver. So I feel like we got pretty good rapport. You know, he respects me. I feel like I could slide by being a moment late. And when he first starts, you can see this kind of a hint of a smirk if you break down the film. And I'm like, okay, he's going to mess with me. But then when he kept going, then I got concerned. Like, oh my gosh, he's really pissed. And then he finally broke after waiting a little longer than I was prepared for. And I'm glad to say that he was, in fact, messing with me. But, Tausch, I am curious. Were you ever, in your illustrious 11-year career, late for a meeting?
No.
Were there others who were not as responsible as old T?
I'll say this. I think offensive lineman-wise, were there people that missed meetings or showed up late? Absolutely. Were there O-linemen that on a Friday after a big Thursday night O-line dinner with some Coors Lights miss? Yes, that happened. But no, I never was late. That would have driven me nuts. There was one time we were on the road in Atlanta, and Cliffy and I and Barry Stokes were out for dinner. And Stokey had to go back for special teams. So he had to be back like 45 minutes earlier than us. And Cliffy and I were having a good old time and maybe a couple other linemen. And we ended up getting stuck where we could not get a cab. I don't even know. No, Uber was not a thing.
Okay.
So we couldn't get a cab. Luckily, we ran into somebody that we knew at this restaurant that decided they would take us to the hotel, and we got back like 3 minutes before the meeting.
Ooh, you were sweating bullets in the
yes,
ride.
Yes, that was, and especially you don't want to do that on a Saturday night before a Sunday game. So that was the closest call that I probably ever had. I just wish LaFleur would have paused, let you walk out, and then send somebody out to get you. That was his only mistake in that whole process. In what he did there. I thought he called it out pretty good. I thought he was pretty good with his acting. Not great, but pretty good. But he didn't let it percolate.
He didn't let it breathe.
No, he sniffed it out. You let it. He didn't let it breathe enough that made you I wanted to see you fill your britches.
Oh, I was definitely about halfway through his charade, I was convinced that it was no longer a charade. So anyway, he got down there early and wanted to go early, and Wallers told him not to. And so this was premeditated. So he told Wallers, whoever comes in late, I'm lighting them up. And I was the lucky winner who came in late. So
I don't understand. Like, you're in the building. This wasn't like you were sprinting from the show.
I wasn't in the building. I was coming from home because I did the show here, and then I had a few other responsibilities.
What time is the show in?
Noon. Right?
Show ends at noon.
It's an hour and 10-minute drive from your palatial estate?
Pool? I was coming from Sun Prairie. It was a longer commute than usual, as opposed to this commute, which is down the stairs, and I'm still almost late for. So anyway, we enjoyed that. I got a kick out of it. I think everyone was entertained. But there were other things said during this press conference that I want to get to coming up before we get to Bulaga, including the fact that our diagnoses were accurate about him after the game. One more follow-up, though, on being late. Let's say you don't have that person at your restaurant that you were at, and you and Cliffy do show up late. This is at a point in your career where you're both the starting tackles.
Yeah, no, we're veterans at this point. This isn't like some rookies that were, you know, this was probably 06, 07-ish.
So McCarthy.
Yeah. Yep.
So what does Big Mike do if his two starting tackles are late for the meeting?
Well,
are you punished in any fashion?
Very, very, very frustrating.
I'm sure you'd be fine. It's more about just being, you know, you can't.
A pro.
You can't do it. Like, you can't be a slappy and show up late to meetings. Like, that's just, I think now in the civilian world, I still have, like, that angst if traffic is a little bit tight. I hate being late. I don't like showing up late. I just don't like, basically what you're doing is saying my time is more valuable than yours.
Yeah. Yeah.
And when you do that, that's a slap to the face of the people that are hosting that meeting.
Very, very fair. That was the best since the Mike Sherman phone ringing during the press conference, I think. I mean, the times he's...
So are you going to start showing up 5 minutes early?
Yeah, I usually do show up 5 minutes early.
Okay.
I was not quite the, couldn't get a cab, needed some random person that we knew that was in the restaurant to give us a ride back to the hotel scenario. But there were a couple of delays, and I went from being about 4 minutes early to being 30 seconds late.
It happens. So I guess I wonder, and after I saw this and you said you had the open, which was fantastic. It's so nice when you say that.
Would you say I did have the open, though, or would you say it was kind of meh?
No, I think this is a great open.
Oh, okay.
Don't beat yourself up. I'm not going to sit here and Flores you, Tua. In this case, I think...
Great reference.
As usual, I think a coach understands how to use the media. I think he used you in a really smart way. You are a prop in yesterday's deal, because he knows he overreacted to the game. He understood that, knew that was going to be a big topic of the day from a presser scenario, and you know how that gets amplified and megaphoned. And instead, he made you and some levity the story of the day. And I thought it was absolutely genius because, again, you have to realize 31 of your guys aren't playing. You're going to get – it's not going to be pretty out in Denver. Like, I understand you can be disappointed, but he went overboard. He went too far, and he course-corrected utilizing you yesterday to do that. And I thought it was really smart, and I think, you know, players, not that it's, like, instant. We don't watch these press conferences, but we hear about it. And players are probably, as I said, they're probably perked up, right? You know, getting cranked up to go practice and to do all this stuff. And when you have your coach bring some levity, everybody else can take a deep breath, too, and now it's like, okay, now that narrative is gone, or at least it's dwindled, and you, being the late reporter, becomes that story, and it also shows that Matt LaFleur's got a good sense of humor about it. So, really, I think he planned this out and did this. He executed. I wish he would have pregnant paused a little bit, but outside of that, I thought he that was a really smart maneuver that he utilized yesterday.
At least waited until I started to stand up to go outside.
No, she should have made you walk outside, and then you'd have been like, do I really have to leave? And then, I mean, you can't really get mad at him because you were late.
I was late, yeah, no doubt about it. So we did ask him about how he reacted to, someone else got the question before I did, about how he reacted to the defeat. You will hear that answer. You will also hear him, and you can read at Madison.com and in the Wisconsin State Journal. I took our storyline that we discussed on the show yesterday and made it my story for the newspaper, which was, are you worried about this offense and where it's at?
Give you now, a letter grade?
I did not ask for a letter. I figured, especially after the way things had played out, I didn't want to necessarily
go. You could have said, here's what you could have said. I know I get an F for timeliness come here.
Sure.
What would you rate your offense from an efficiency standpoint on an A to F grade?
Well, you can grade my question in search of that answer coming up. I will say this. I talked to Christian Watson. I talked to Jaden Reed. They think that I'm overreacting to even ask if there's any concern about where they're at in terms of where their offense is so far through camp. Jaden Reed, who I really enjoy our conversations, was very friendly about it, but he was very dismissive. We got Jordan Love. We got Christian. We got Rome. We got Wicks. We got Josh Jacobs. We're going to be fine. We'll see. We'll see what they are in Brazil. And if he's right, then the Packers are going to whoop the Philadelphia Eagles. All right, we'll get to that coming up. Plus, we've got Brian Bulaga scheduled to appear at his regular time of 9:30, which we very rarely get to him at, after we hear from Tausch telling us about Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin.
Oh, indeed I will. And how do you say welcome to your guests? Well, first off, you show up on time. Don't show up 15 minutes late.
That was coming.
To a meeting. You can also say it with a new entry door. Maybe you should give LaFleur a new entry door from Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. You say it with color. Should have had that pregnant pause. That would have been a little more colorful in yesterday's operation. But you know the possibilities are endless thanks to Pella's custom colors. And you say it with class. You say it with class by being there 10 minutes early. Lombardi time. Pella's premium doors stand out due to their distinguished craftsmanship. Say it with a great deal. Get 0% interest for 5 years, not four, not three, 5 years, 60 months, no money down and equal payments. But hurry up, get there on time. Don't be late for this offer, like some. This offer does end at the end of this month. Certain restrictions do apply, like being on time. Visit PellaWI.com today to learn more. I think I kind of covered.
How much longer are you going to keep this up?
That's pretty good.
I was going to say, kind of topical. No, just today. We'll move along. We'll keep her moving.
Well, stick around, or if you do leave, make sure you come back on time, because we're going to get ready to talk to Brian Bulaga. That's coming up. It's Wilde and Tausch.
This is Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. Call Gina Della from Pella today, 855-PELLA-WI, and online at PellaWI.com/radio.
Just to show you that they can handle.
What time are you going to come to my press conference late? We got a rule in the team meeting. You don't interrupt the meeting. Sit your butt outside. Just kidding.
Lols.
Just kidding. You're right. If he holds that a little longer.
I tried to do my best to like play that off, but it probably wasn't very good.
He holds that a tick longer, I do stand up. Yes, I know I've gotten a few texts on the private talking text line. Would you have left? Yeah, if he, like, you can't just sit there if he's, because you can't risk the fact that he might be legitimately pissed. So yes, I would have gotten up.
Yeah,
And I think he might have stopped me before I got out the door, as opposed to the Tausch plan.
I think you let him walk out the door and then bring him back.
Well, that's what Coach Tausch would have done, but yeah. Coach LaFleur...
is there any reporter that if they walked in late like that, he wouldn't do? Is there somebody, like, is it Spoon that he's like, oh, man, he's just, Spoon's been around so long? Or is it everybody's fair game?
So I don't want to try and spin this into he likes me, he really, really likes me.
But he does, but you guys are pretty cute together. Yep, he does like you a lot.
He's much better looking than me. But
why are you always trying to stir stuff up, Jason?
I think everybody agrees with that. Would Paul agree with that?
That's a canyon right there. I think you think.
No, we don't need to poll that. Would Paula agree with that?
Well, she knows what's inside, which is really what matters.
Yeah, but we're not talking about what's inside. We're talking about just straight looks.
I'm inside the Elmo costume in that photo.
Dude, that was going in some weird... I'm glad you specified what the hell you were talking about.
That's why I delivered that pause very briefly just to make it uncomfortable.
That pause was way too pregnant.
which may relate... Never mind. Yes, I think she would agree. But again, it's not just the exterior.
Yeah, no, we know.
I'm not going to say anything else.
I think that's probably smart.
So,
moving on.
Whoa, Nelly!
Let's move on. But I will just put a bow on this by saying, I think there are those that he would not want to mess with and give a hard time to. And I think he knows that I know that we have a good enough rapport that he can do that. Why are you trying to stir stuff up, Jason? But it was fun. I'm glad we got a little bit of mileage out of it here on the show. And let's move on. And my question for you, because I want to wait and play this clip for Brian while he's with us on Matt LaFleur's basically mea culpa that he allowed his frustration to lead to him questioning his player's effort, which we all agreed was probably not the issue.
She went too far. Yep.
So we'll play that coming up when Brian joins us in a few minutes. I'm just going to ask you this straight out, Tausch. Do you think the starters play? He did not answer.
No.
You don't think they play at all?
I don't. No. And I think you can become a Palmer and say, well, we stunk here. Now, if you stink against Baltimore on Thursday, do you decide to boot it up and play on Saturday? I think you're being too reactionary when you do stuff like that. I know you have a plan, and I know they scheduled this the way they did so that these guys didn't play. Mm-hmm. That you don't put Jordan Love in harm's way before you head to Brazil. There's always course corrections, and there's always, well, this isn't going according to plan. We have to shock this and get it moving. Okay, we understand that that does happen. But I think you're really going to be off as far as how you approach things if every time something negative happens or something doesn't go the right way, you change course.
Mm-hmm.
That makes me not really believe that you have a course. So, no, I understand it. I know LaFleur is kind of he's up in arms about, well, this is my belief is that we played better because we did more in the preseason.
Correct.
Did that against the Bears. Yeah, every team is different, but you structured it and I believe set it up so that you didn't have to do that. And especially the season starts, it's only a couple days early, but it is, and it's a long trip, and there's a lot of other things that you just want to make sure you got your preferred starters ready to roll when you go down there and they're healthy. And that's why I just don't think they're going to – I don't think playing them two or three series, even though you get good vibes and you get all that, I don't think that juice is going to be worth that squeeze, and that's why I think they're going down there without playing any more reps.
Well, we will see on Saturday at noon, which I can't remember many preseason games that started at noon, but we'll see what happens. Tausch, if Prize Picks offered you the opportunity to project more or less – than 31 players sitting out the game, which way are you going?
I'm going to go less on that. And Prize Picks is the place to be when you're going more or less. It's America's number one daily fantasy sports app. Over 5 million active members. Prize Picks is the easiest and most exciting way to play daily fantasy sports. And unlike other apps, on Prize Picks, it's just you v. the numbers. All you do is pick more or less on a 2-6 player stat projection and watch the winnings roll and get in on the daily action with your buddies and become part of the Prize Picks community today. You can now win to 100 times your money on Prize Picks with as little as 4 correct picks. You can turn $10 into $1,000. Sign up today. Get $50 instantly when you play $5. You don't need to even win to get that $50 bonus. It's guaranteed. So preseason football, it's well underway. You can pick more or less on 2024 season stats on Prize Picks. Patrick Mahomes, more or less, 4,300 yards. It's interesting. I think Caleb Williams at 3,600. I love that one. Download the Prize Picks app today. Use code WI for a first deposit match up to $100. It's code WI on Prize Picks for a first deposit match up to $100. Prize Picks, run your game.
3,600 yards. Now, I guess I would have to check the rules. Does my injury insurance factor
on
in there?
Season stuff. It's interesting. I know for regular games, yes. For the season long operations, I just don't think Caleb Williams is going to play 17 weeks.
Well, then that's
kind of lessens that blow. So.
Indeed.
I don't think it's like a 10-game minimum, but that's a great question that Jesse will take a look at and get back to us on.
Brian Bulaga joins us next. It's Wilde and Tausch.
Wilde and Tausch is brought to you by Tito's Handmade Vodka. Tito's makes the good stuff for good times. Find recipes, videos, and more at titosvodka.com.
I've got some famous friends you probably never heard of, but back in Rutherford County, our crowd is second to none. You might not city we're in, but when I go back home, I've got some famous friends. Yeah, I do. My buddy Jason, he's a sheriff.
Our famous friend joins us now. He's on time. He is Brian Bulaga. Brian, good morning. I assume because you were taught so well by your mentor and friend, Old T, that you were never late for a meeting either, right?
Yeah, no. Good morning. That's important to say here. But no, I was. That was one thing that I was always very particular about, was not being late and not giving away money. Like, I did not want to get fined and give away time. Like, it was a fear in me of being late and all that. So, no, I was never late for anything as a professional player. Too scared to be.
So, do you recall, because Tausch, and you can, you know, change the names to protect the guilty if you'd like, but do you remember anyone being late and the coach, Matt LaFleur, Mike McCarthy, for most of your career, getting after anybody for their tardiness? Or am I in a unique category that most guys never put themselves in?
Oh, no. There were plenty of guys, and one of them, he was an offensive lineman. I'm not going to say his name. I'll give a couple hints. He was a second-round pick. Then he went to the Bears for a little bit.
Jason Spriggs.
But yeah. Yeah.
Was he a second round pick or was he a first round pick?
Yeah, no, second round
Spriggs
pick from Indiana.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. He showed up late a few times. Let's put it that way. I think he was a heavy sleeper. Heavy sleeper. And there were some days he was rolling in really late. And Campy and Coach McCarthy, they were not happy about it. We'll just put it that way. So that was, Spriggsy was such a good dude. You would look at him like, Spriggsy, why are you late again, dude? Like, come on, like, just show up on time. Like, set 10 alarms. Do not sleep past them. And just get to the building on time. And, like, if you want to take a nap in the hot tub because you got here so early, please do so. But don't not show up. Like, you got to be here. But that's like, it was probably a handful of times he did that. And then after that, the following year, he was fine. He did not do that again. So that's really the only person I could think of. I mean, maybe Tausch has someone from when he was playing that was a habitual not show up on timer. But, like, Spriggsy just had, like, a – like a 10 to 12 week stretch where he was just having a rough go at it. And then he turned it around and he was good.
I just love the fact that Blue said, I'm not going to tell you who it was. And 3 seconds later, he's telling you the whole story about Spriggs.
One guess, and he goes, yeah.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
Well, I didn't tell you what actually happened. I just said
yeah,
that
that's
he,
good.
You know, I didn't say the entire situation because that's not going to
be inappropriate. Yeah, sure.
That
yeah.
wouldn't be. Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I thought Blue. I thought LaFleur should have paused longer and let Wildy force Wildy to walk out the door. That would have been the only thing that I think, because Jason was disrespectful showing up late to Matt's presser, mm-hmm. and I think he should have let him, because LaFleur actually played it off. LaFleur's a pretty good actor. I think he's a pretty good actor. He just his timing. He didn't want to, I think, continue on too long, but that was the only part I thought, Brian, that he should have let that play and let Wildy kind of fill his britches a little bit more.
I mean, it would have been gamey. I mean, the thing is, like, these LaFleur's pressers are they're can't miss. No, they're can't miss. You got to be there on time so that potentially you don't repeat a question that was already asked. I mean, he's already in depth about it. You know, he's and you know what would happen if you asked him a question that was already asked? He'd give you that look, and I know that look. When he's a little annoyed, he kind of looks at you. His head tilts a little bit.
Yeah.
He kind of, you know, he just gets. And I remember, I mean, you pick up on these things, especially for a coach. Like, what are their little signs that they're starting to get annoyed with you or annoyed with the situation? And his is a pretty easy tell. Like, he gives it away. He doesn't got a great poker face when he's getting annoyed. Mm-hmm. Especially, like, if practice isn't going well or, you know, something's not, you know, he shows it pretty well. But that's, you know, it was always fun, especially with him as a, you know, getting the experience and see how he was as a first-year head coach. It was a fun experience. And obviously, he's grown from that, but it was fun being in the building and seeing a young new head coach and picking up on his tells of when he was annoyed, when he was, you know, pissed at somebody. Like, it was fun. I mean, it was an enjoyable year.
McCarthy had the eyebrow deal. Like, that was his deal. Like, you could tell he'd get the eyebrows all revved up, and that's what got him irritated.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
All right. So Brian, we can critique his acting, which was terrific. But as all three of us critiqued him in what he said after the game, we were all critical of him. And quite frankly, rightfully so. So we all thought that he got a little bit carried away with his frustration, got into his feelings a little bit, and criticize the effort level of a bunch of guys that are trying to keep their NFL dream alive. And all of us agreed, that's ridiculous. It's not a lack of effort when you're trying to keep yourself in the league. Well, Matt LaFleur yesterday was asked precisely about his post-game frustration. Here is how that went.
That's why it's always good to probably say less to you guys post-game, because I felt a certain type of way, and I don't think after watching the tape, I don't think I, you know, truly appreciated it. Our guys were playing hard. They were straining. We had a bunch of mental mistakes, and we didn't execute all the time, and that's why we struggled.
So, Brian, that's what we said, right? You and I said that on Monday. Tausch got back on Tuesday. We said the same thing. Like, it's okay for coaches to be frustrated, but it was just surprising to see him inaccurately portray what his players had done. That's out of character for him, kind of like me being late, right?
Yeah, it was. I mean, like we talked about on Monday, he was mad at the joint practice, right? And then the performance happened. And that even fired him up a little bit more, at least the preseason game fired him up a little bit more. And he was just mad about the last, you know, probably 48 hours. And it set him off a little bit. And you know, to his credit, to come back at the podium in front of you guys and kind of correct that, I mean, you got to give him his respect for that, because, you know, sometimes head coaches will just completely ignore that question and they'll move on. And yeah, they'll do something about it and won't even mention it or try to say that, like Tausch said, double down on it. But, like, you know, he corrected himself, and I'm sure he talked to the guys about that in the team meeting as well, about what he said, and I'm sure he addressed that. So, but that's why guys like playing for him, right? Because if he does something or says something wrong, that, you know, unless he's right about it, right? Unless that is what he saw on tape, but that's not what he saw on tape, but he said it. He stands up in front of the guys and corrects himself and apologizes and, you know, makes the situation right. So, as much as we said it on Monday that it really had nothing to do with an effort level, it was good to see him correct it in the presser with you guys. So I got to give my hats off to him there.
Tausch, to Brian's points, how important is it for a coach to be able to say, I was wrong? I think we all have people in our lives. I won't mention anybody in my house right now that struggle to admit that they're
Paula
wrong.
Paula doesn't like saying she's wrong.
She doesn't. Neither does Aaron Rodgers. That's a story for another day. But
well, he apologized to you in Ian O'Connor's book.
Well, that's not exactly what happened. But be that as it may, Brian, I'll tell you that later. But yeah. How important is it for a coach to be able to do that? Because do you gain respect for him when he does it?
So coaches can't just sit there and, you know, bellyache and complain. You know, we all understand they're going to make mistakes. And that's why, you know, a bad performance, usually a good head coach will say, we got beat everywhere. We got out-coached. We got da-da-da.
Right.
And players don't want it just to always be, you guys stink. I had the perfect game plan drawn up. You guys just didn't execute it. Now, if you want to do that once, great. But this is a team effort, and players really appreciate when the coaches will, first off, shoot straight with you and let you know when you're going to call somebody out effort-wise, you better be right. Because players know, and players watch the same films the coaches do. So you're not going to sit there, and I think you want to make sure, hey, emotions got the better of me. I apologize for that. Players will say, I get it, because I promise you, just like A.J. Dillon the other day, emotions got the better of him. It happens to everybody. Apologize, move on, and I promise you, nobody's going to think anything else of it. You have to make sure you're authentic about what you're doing. You have to make sure you're being straight with what you see on film and make sure you're verbalizing that to your guys, because you can't BS a BSer. You got to shoot straight with guys because people see it. This is the eye in the sky, don't lie. You're going to see it. Media is going to see it. And people that will analyze it in the right way. So players are always going to look at it and say, all right, there can be disagreements about, my grade or whatever else. But on the whole, players appreciate when a coach lets them see you let the players in. Hey man, I ain't perfect either.
Brian's gonna get a game of Papa Shot in during the break, and then a couple things. I want to get to his answer on playing the starters and how he answered the question about whether or not his not deciding now factors in to what he did last week and why he's withholding an announcement, because that's also some ground we covered as we questioned him. Also, I do want to get to where this offense is at. And at practice yesterday, I hugged someone. And I think it's someone that if you two had seen him, you would have hugged him too.
Oh.
I'll tell you who it was.
Steve Buscemi.
What? Steve Buscemi.
Christian Bale.
Neither of those people, but I'll tell you who it was next. It's Wildy and Tausch.
This is Wildy and Tausch, brought to you by Grassland Butter. Grassland Dairy is Wisconsin. Learn more at grasslandbutter.com.
I've got some famous friends you probably never heard of, but back in Rutherford County, our crowd is second to none. You might not
Should we play this game? We'll call it the Jason Spriggs game. On who I hugged at practice yesterday? How many hints do you think
I know
need?
Who it is. So. I have a really good idea of who it is. I can get it. I can do this in one note.
All right.
Okay.
Well, it's hard to beat.
You can go zero. Go zero notes.
Okay.
You could do you. I bet you saw this on Twitter, didn't you? So you know.
Actually, I sent some text messages out and got some responses, not some from some others. But Blue, I feel like you, if you think who was unemployed that we knew very well, that was the longest serving assistant coach in the history of the Green Bay Packers. That's my guess on who that might be.
Oh, Campy. Yeah. That's Campy.
That's my guess. Yeah. It's James Campen.
And you would be. So you did get zero notes, as it turned out.
Okay.
But you cheated because you were texting and you found out from a good source, because that's the good media member that you are. Yes, James Campen is back with the team. He is working as a advisor in the scouting department. But he had been let go by the Panthers as they changed coaches, and he just can't not work. So he all of a sudden he's walking toward me.
Actually, I think his wife makes him like to get out of the house. Like, don't you think, Blue?
Is that why you do the show?
I've had enough. Get out the house, Campy. You're driving me crazy.
There's a chance.
Yes,
she's like, you got to go do something. You got to go do something. There's a good chance, but that's. That's awesome. Listen, he is like, obviously I have the highest respect for Campy and I love the guy, but he's like a Green Bay Packer through and through. Mm-hmm. Like, he absolutely loves that place. He like everything about it. He is like the epitome of the Green Bay Packers.
Yep.
So the fact that he's back there and in that, whatever role he's in, like I'm pumped for him, because like, if it's not coaching, he's evaluating and doing things like that, so I'm happy for him. That's awesome.
Yeah, he was glowing yesterday. You could see he was happy to have Packers gear back on, and I was way more surprised when he started walking toward me, and I was thinking, oh my, is that Campy? Than I was when LaFleur got after me, until it went a little longer than I thought for sure. I was in trouble. All right, so one of the things we talked about, too, earlier in the week after the loss on Sunday was the idea that maybe Matt LaFleur misplayed the approach he took to telling them at the beginning of the week that they were not going to play the starters. And so I inquired about that, and I do believe I got a pretty decent admission from him that had been the case.
Matt, when you say you're TBD on your plan for Saturday, is that in any way a lesson from the way you thought last week went, when you told the guys that they weren't going to play and maybe you weren't all that happy with how the practices went, or are those not related?
Possibly. No, I think we're working through things, stuff from a scheduling perspective in terms of what are the alternatives if we don't play them, what are the benefits if you do play them. So I'm kind of working through that right now. We've had a lot of discussions internally, and like I said, to be determined.
We've had a lot of discussions, right? You think there's been a lot of discussions?
Possibly
it had something to do with the way last week worked. Just out of curiosity, having both been starters, I know you guys are pros, you were never late to meetings, all those great things. Had you heard at the beginning of the week that you weren't going to play in the game, would that have affected you? Or would that have affected maybe not you guys, because you're above that, but other guys that were on your team? Because I am convinced that it did for some of those guys.
I think potentially it could have impacted certain guys. And like we talked about Monday, this is a young football team. Like, they're very young, and when you maybe give that away so early in the week, there's a little bit of, you know, letting the foot off the gas going on a business trip. And that's kind of the way it seemed, not just the performance on the field, but also the way all the reports came out about the joint practice and how Matt reacted to the joint practice afterwards and his press conference afterwards. So, to me, it seemed like, and listen, just because you're young doesn't mean you can't handle being told early that you're not going to play. But there is also a part of it that you kind of learn how to go about your business. And the more years you're in the league, you understand kind of the responsibility the coach is, you know, putting on you and what the expectation is when he does tell you that early in the week, hey, you're not playing in the game, so you need to get your work in up to up till game day. Mm-hmm. And there's an expectation of what you're supposed to do, how you're supposed to perform. And it just did not happen in Denver from the ones and, you know, practice all the way down to the threes in the game. It just didn't happen. So I think his answer, at least the way he gave it away, was a little bit of that thought process of, yeah, you know, probably not going to do that again. I'm probably not going to let them know almost a week in advance that they're not playing, especially when we're going on the road and we got a joint practice, because then they're just looking at it as, I've got to get through this practice and I'm scot-free. It's not, hey, I got to grind in this practice. I got to show out in this practice to earn that, you know, preseason game off. That's something that you earn. It's not something that is just given out by coaches, especially now as the preseason shrinks and you start to see more starters get more snaps throughout the preseason these days. At least I've been tuning into some of these games, and there's a lot of starters taking reps on these teams. So it's not something that's just completely, you know, gifted to guys. So to me, it's something that Matt will probably, you know, learn from his, you know, from this last week in Denver to not only this week, because he said, he goes, we're not sure yet. We're going to see how this week goes. But in future seasons as well. I mean, obviously, as the team matures and grows together and guys start to – and I'm not saying guys don't understand to be professionals, but there is certain things that you just get as you get older in the league. Like, you just understand it more, and that'll be something that he revisits, you know, as future seasons go on, for sure.
Yeah, human nature is prevalent in football too. So especially in the preseason – there's an edge that you practice with when you're Wednesday, Thursday during the regular season, and it's all you're building up. And then Friday is, okay, mentally, I want to kind of try and make sure I feel everything buttoned up. But when you walk out of that building Friday, you feel like you know everything. There's some refreshers. But I just liken this to taking a test. If you know if you have a test on Friday, you're probably going to ramp up and study a little bit more hours, and you're going to put in more time and be maybe a little more disciplined and vigilant about what you need to know for that exam. And then if somebody tells you on Monday, well, the test is first in 2 weeks. It's in 2 weeks now. Are you going to be as razor's edge focused for that Friday? The answer is no.
Right.
So I don't care how pro you are. You're going to want to go and put out good tape, no doubt about it. But when I always saw when they would put us running the cards on Tuesday for a Friday or Saturday game, there was a little bit of a drop. Mm-hmm. That's just the reality. It's not, it would be an awesome world if that's not how it is, but that is how it is. And you have to understand that psychology. And I think Matt LaFleur learned a lesson, just like he did two years ago when they went over to London, and he was kind of pouting about having to fly over there and to play. And then you know what? They don't show up in the second half, and the whole season spirals out of control. Mm-hmm. You learn lessons in this. He learned a lesson out in Denver. I would bet you're going to see a much better performance Thursday in the joint scrimmage and on Saturday.
I'm with you there. I'm completely with you. I think the guys, I would imagine this week before this joint practice tomorrow, the guys got a little wake-up call in meetings. Mm-hmm. Positionally, team meeting. There was probably a little wake-up call sent to all the guys. And, you know, I don't know what Matt said behind closed doors, but I take him for his word that he said, we haven't decided what they're doing yet for the game. Mm-hmm. I take him that's probably what he has told most of these guys. Maybe like I told you on Monday, Jason, Kenny, Preston, guys have been doing this for a long time. He might have already told them, you're not playing. But the rest of these guys, he has probably said, we got to see how you do this week in practice, because the preseason game's not off the table as of right now. And that gets guys' attention. It really does. It, like Tao said, it makes you feel like I'm on my toes. I got to be sharp so that I can earn that preseason game off. And that's something that I think Tao is right. We're going to see a better practice tomorrow, which I'm very excited to hear from you about. Then I think the preseason game, the finale, is probably going to be better played as well, because guys are fighting for their lives at that point.
No doubt. All right, two things I want to get to before our time with you is done. One, A.J. Dillon, we learned yesterday he had sustained a stinger during the practice with the Broncos. So now our operating theory had been, well, he's not playing. That must mean that he's clearly their number two running back. I still think that's the case, but I can't now say that because he was not out because he was given the night off. He was out because of an injury issue, which he had stinger issues late in the season last year. Missed the two playoff games, missed the finale. So Matt LaFleur is at the podium now. He just said that they're being cautious with him, gathering all the information. But A.J. Dillon's situation is a little murkier than we had thought when we got the inactive list on Sunday. Now, the other thing, you guys would have been really proud. I know not only do you like Campy, but you both like Elgton Jenkins a lot. And so when I went around the locker room to offensive players yesterday, just asking them, how do you feel about where this offense is? I mentioned this to Tausch earlier. You know, Jaden Reed was playfully annoyed with me that I would even consider that they might not be where they want to be offensively. Christian Watson and I had a fun exchange. I said, you're not that little dog in the meme where you're sitting at the table with your coffee and the room is on fire around you. You really believe you're fine? And he said, absolutely. But Elgton Jenkins, who is now the veteran.
A great photo.
It's the first time I've ever used a meme in a lead of a story. But Elgton Jenkins, who's been doing this now, who's kind of learned from certainly you, Brian, playing with him, but also, you know, he knows Tausch pretty well. He wasn't dismissive. He said, we're trending in the right direction. That's a veteran answer if I've ever heard one, because that is not the youthful second or third year wide receiver saying, oh, we're fine. It's fine. We're not game planning for this. We're fine. Trending in the right direction. Now, that might even be a little optimistic based on the fact that they did push-ups again yesterday at the end of practice as an offense, which I think marks all but one practice.
Didn't he catch a touchdown? Didn't Elgton catch a touchdown?
He did, yes. So well, maybe that's why they're trending.
Yeah,
they're adding him to the passing game.
That's why it's good, because he's getting touches now.
So you guys put yourselves back in the locker room again now. You guys are, you know, Brian is playing left tackle, so Tausch can get on the field at right tackle. And you're both on this team. You know what I've told you about the practices. You know what you've heard. If some pipsqueak reporter comes to you and asks you about where the offense is, based on what you both have seen from this offense now in your analysts' roles, are you answering it like Elgton? And do you have those concerns? Because I'm sorry, the idea of that, oh, everything's fine, and once we start game planning, we're going to be star-spangled awesome, I'm not in that club.
Yeah, for me, it's you're always wanting to, like, win the press conference. You don't need to sit there and say, yeah, we're humming, because nobody's humming at this time of the year. You just say, yeah, we all have things we need to work on. We would, you know, we are a work in progress, but we are. I love that we're trending in the right direction.
Mm-hmm.
We're just working. We're going to grind. You have to remember, we're not game planning anything. We're not showing a ton of stuff. That's the direction that I would go. And there were some preseasons that we did not look good, that we didn't play great. And I don't think there was ever a panic about it, because we're not bringing out all of our stuff. We're not super, you know, interested in showcasing all that. But you do need to show that you're trending in the right direction, because you don't want to have those conversations. You want to come to us. I want you as a reporter coming to us saying, man, things are looking good. Looks like the O-line's coming together, the running game and all this other stuff. And we'll let you tell that story, because we're going to always say we have things we want to work on that we're going to improve upon.
Yeah, I think Elgton handled it right, because I don't think you want to create – or at least I always look this way, and I'm sure Tausch as well. You don't want to create questions for others in the locker room, right? Like, you don't want to say something that then someone else has to go answer, is the way I always looked at it. So the way Elgton answered it was, we're trending in the right direction, is probably the way I would approach it. I mean, I would say I would mostly put it back on the offensive line and stay in my bubble and be like, hey, we've done some good things, but there's a lot more that we can improve on as these next weeks go through, to tighten up protection, tighten up the run game so that everyone else can do their job. And if I just kind of stay down that path, I'm not creating questions for others. I'm talking about our group, which that's the room I'm in 95% of the time.
If those four other linemen get their blank together, we'd be playing a lot better.
Yeah. If I said something of that nature.
If Sid could pass off a stunt, maybe we'd be able to handle this, right?
I don't think I've ever, like, even if you think something, right? Even if you think, hey, man, this isn't looking good. Like, this off, like, we're not clicking the way we should. I just always feel like you got to think positive and act positive, but you can't say, like, this thing's going perfect when it's not, because it's very easy to see if it's not going perfect. So I'm not sure if I'm with the young wideouts that everything is hunky-dory and the question is irrelevant, but I'm more with Elton with we're trending in the right direction. Mm-hmm. We're doing some good things, but there is more that we can improve on, and I think – from an offensive perspective, there always is things you're gonna have to work on. There's always rarely is a play ever executed perfectly. Even if it's a positive play, rarely is it always executed perfectly. So there's always something to work on, and I think that's where Elton was going with it.
I'm not sure they are trending in the right direction.
That's a tease into the 10 o'clock hour. Blue, before we let you go, would you, if they stink in the joint practice, Baltimore eats their lunch, you playing Jordan Love Saturday?
No, I'm not playing him, but I'm playing a lot of the other guys.
Okay.
Because I'm not risking getting him hurt. Like, I'm just like, and you could ask, well, why are you going to risk everyone else? I mean,
money.
To me, yeah. financially is one reason, but I think, you know, as much as we hear from Jordan Love, I mean, like, I think he gets it, right? The way he speaks, the way he acts, and you could kind of see his leadership when he's on. Like, I think he understands it and he gets it. And he understands the pressure on his shoulders. He understands the responsibility. He knows who he is within this team. He is the leader. So I think he gets it. But I think some guys, if they don't step up during this week of practice and this joint practice, and they think that's good enough to lead into week one, they need a little awakening needs to happen. Mm-hmm. And a little, like, if LaFleur didn't give them a wake-up call during the week, they're about to get it in the preseason game because they're going to go out there and play. So if they just get run out the gym by Baltimore in this joint practice, I would expect to see a decent handful of starters taking the field for the preseason game.
We will find out tomorrow when they and the Ravens take the field at 10:30 for the final open to the public practice of training camp on August 22nd. Brian, get your shots up at the Papa Shot stand, and we'll talk to you later.
All right, guys. Appreciate it.
Keep that elbow in. All right, that is Brian Bulaga. Tausch, I think we probably need to raise a Coors Light to the triumphant return of our buddy Campy to the Packers.
Indeed,
staff.
We should. Coors Light. I've had a few Coors Lights with James Campen over the years. Brewed with that three-step cold process, cold lager, cold filtered, and cold packaged, so it's made to chill. And we always make sure the mountain's on Coors Light's cold activated bottles and cans. We go wide mouth, 16-ounce silver bullet. Make sure those cold activated bottles and cans are blue. That's when I know it's chilled to perfection. That's why it is Coors Light in my hand when I need a moment to chill. Celebrate responsibly, Coors Brewing Company at Golden, Colorado.
The 10 o'clock hour, you will hear how Matt LaFleur answered the question of how he feels about where this offense is at. It was not a letter grade. Maybe I would have asked it that way had I not been busted for coming in late. You'll find out during the 10 o'clock hour in 2 minutes. So stick around. It's Wilde and Tausch.
Don't go anywhere. Another hour of Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin, is coming up next on ESPN Wisconsin, the ESPN app, and Wisconsin On Demand.